Okay, we talked about bringing Mishnayos Siddur into the bathroom. We said you double cover it, you're good. Okay. Now, something I didn't clarify. Let's say I'm right here. I'm in this room. And I see a Sefer Torah right outside over there. Okay? Do I have to stand up? What's the pshat? What do I do? Do I got to stand up?
No, you have to be in the same room.
You have to be in the same rishus, exactly. Since you're in a separate rishus, you don't have to stand up. Right? Or if it's really high up. In the kota, I always wonder if every single time a Sefer Torah comes by, you have to stand up. Because that would be really impossible, because there's always Sefer Torahs on Mondays and Thursdays going by. So I'm not exactly sure what the halacha is. I have to double check about that. But if you're steiging, let's say you're in the base and you see the Sefer Torah comes through, what's the halacha? Can you keep steiging? Or do you have to stand up and honor the Sefer Torah?
You have to stand up.
You got to stand up, because the whole point is to respect the Torah, so showing respect for the Torah. Learning, it's not just about learning the Torah, it's fulfilling the Torah. Therefore, you have to respect, stand up for a Sefer Torah, also Talmud Chacham.
What if somebody else does it for you?
If somebody else does what for you?
Stands up for you. Can that happen? Can
I don't know what that means. If someone like picks you up, then you're good. Everything here we're saying is Durbanan. Everything here is based on a Gemara, where the Gemara says that Vihart Havdarta Pnei Zaken, and you have to stand up for a wise person, for an old person. Kal v'chomer, why do you have to stand up for an old person? Because he's like a walking Sefer Torah. So, right? Or a Talmud Chacham. So kal v'chomer, if you have an actual Sefer Torah, you have to stand up. Okay? So when Rafi walks into the room, we stand up, because he's a walking Sefer Torah. But when you have an actual Sefer Torah, you also stand up. Got it? Make sense? Okay. So on the other hand, if you have the magbia and he's sitting down, or if you put the Sefer Torah on the bima, then it's in its set place and you don't have to stand up. It's only when it's not in its set place. Also, by the way, in the army it happens a lot where they have to drive the Sefer Torah to the shetach, to the outside area, because we have leaning on Mondays and Thursdays and we have to have leaning. But the halacha is that you have to have an escort. You shouldn't have an escort, and you're supposed to wrap the Sefer Torah in like a talis. And there's even those who say it's preferable to have 10 guys, but that's not so realistic. But you're supposed to, a Sefer Torah shouldn't just be like walked around stam. You always have to like escort it. And so last year we did this big Shabbos in town by the Shuk, where we invited all of Klal Yisrael. We were thinking of doing a leaning because it was Parshat Zachor. But in the end, we decided not to. It was too complicated because you need like an escort to bring the Sefer Torah the whole time. It wasn't so covetic to bring it out in the streets. So there's specific ways you have to treat a Sefer Torah. Okay, good. This is something that I'm, in terms of holy books, something I mess up with a lot. You really shouldn't bang with holy books. Probably not so respectful. I was thinking if it's for Karl Bach Davening, you're like using it like to like, for the sake of the Torah. So maybe there's a heter, but maybe there's a mitzvah, but I'm giving musar to myself. It's probably not the mitzvah.
The bottom, you like hitting the bottom of the Sefer?
So I haven't seen any svarim like it discussed, but it seems like in general it wouldn't be the most respectful thing to do. I'm giving musar to myself. You shouldn't use a Sefer as a fan. Not a good thing to do. Don't throw a svarim. None of that. That's not so respectful. And this one is the hardest one. This is the most practical one. On a bench. You know, a lot of times you're sitting on a bench and there's svarim around. So the Panini Halacha writes, you should not sit on that bench if there's svarim on the bench. It's not respectful. Yeah?
Well, it's like you have a couch.
Yeah.
And like the couch is like, there are two different like cushions. Like,
right. So then it's technically okay. It's technically okay. Also, technically, if you have no other choice, you can, instead of leaving the Sefer like this on the floor, you could stand it up like this. And technically it's okay, better not to, but technically that's okay. Last night when I was researching these halachot, the Panini Halacha wrote that, what about if the Sefer's not on the floor? If it's on the floor, everyone, it's clear that you shouldn't leave the Sefer on the floor. But what if it looks like it's on the floor? Now, like sometimes you have a little notebook, you're reading your Sefer, or at least I do this a lot. It's not on the floor, but it's close to the floor. So what's the deal? What's the halacha with that? So the Panini Halacha writes, ideally, you shouldn't even have it look like it's on the floor. So I realized that my closet in my house, on the lowest, the bottom section, it's not on the floor, but it looks like it's on the floor. So I figured I'd be a hypocrite if I didn't change that. So I took all this foam and I put it on the top closet. So, you know, so it looks more respectful. Yeah.
I heard that you don't actually have to put the Torah 5,000, Torah 12,000, or like Torah maybe, like, I heard that that's not, that there are some books that say that it's okay to do that.
To do what?
To like, put a farm onto a sacred Torah. Onto a, not a sacred Torah, I mean like a farm onto a farm.
So I just read today, here, let's read it inside, show you I'm not making it up.
No.
Sure. I want to show you inside. In the Shulchan, this is, by the way, Shulchan Aruch has six sections, okay? Right? Orach Chaim is the one that we are doing the most of the time, because that's the most relevant stuff, the day and now, Shabbos. There's Yoredei is the second most relevant one. It has laws of tzedakah, and laws of Ben Adam Chavero, business, and also laws of Sefer Torah. So that's what these laws are being drawn from here. And Reish Pei Bet, your text. Mutar le'aniach sefer Torah al sefer Torah. You can put a sefer Torah on a sefer Torah. U'menichim chumashim al gavi neviim ketuvim. And you can put a chumash on top of a neviim and ketuvim. Aval ein menichim neviim uketuvim al gavi chumashim. But we do not put Tanakh on chumashim. See, I didn't make it up. I wasn't just thinking, pulling that about it. What? Oh, Neviim and Ketuvim are on the same level. They're not considered different statuses. You can put a Navi on a Ketuvim, but you shouldn't put a Chumash on top. I mean, a Navi and Ketuvim on top of a Chumash. Writes the Shulchan Aruch for Isaac Caro in the 1500s, a long time ago. Sedrama, Aval Ketuvim al Gavi Neviim, because that's fine. The Ramah specifically says it's fine. Because they marry beit krichot, she kol achad karuch b'vnei atmo. Aval bekrach achad kol shari. If it's a Tanakh, it's all in one set. You don't have to worry that the neviim are on top of the tomb, and that's okay. Okay. That's what happened to it. Good. And then it talks about it. You're not allowed to think about a sefer Torah in a bathroom. Okay. So Rafi wasn't making it up. Shulchan Aruch Rama. And then what you have here on the side is the Taz. Okay, he's one of the, like, not like the Tasmanian devil, like the Taz. He's the main one of the main commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch, and you have the Shach. He's the other main commentary. And the Taz brings down, not like Rosh Shach. He's just called the Shach. So when you're doing Smicha, the main Sfarim you study when you do Yoredei are the Shach and Taz. The Shach and Taz. And they bring in some stringency, some leniencies. They argue all the time about all this stuff. So all the halacha that I've been quoting are based on the Taz and the Ramah. And then you have, in addition, later Acharonim written in the notes of the Shulchan Aruch, the Gra, Pit Cheshuva, Be'er Hetev, and then later Mishnah Brura, who are all commenting on these, on this comment. Okay, so that's not making it up. Okay, let's continue.
I
know, yeah, but I want to show you inside, because sometimes I want you to be able to learn the halacha, the Sfarim on your own, and not just know the halacha, but know how to get the halacha on your own. Say it there? Good, okay. So now, what else? Hilchos Geniza. Okay, this is very relevant for us. Let's say you find some random pages in the Beis Medrash. Do I have to have it put in the Geniza? Can I throw it in the Geniza? What should I do? What does Geniza mean? So first of all, Geniza means, what do we do with these books, these holy books? The Gnoz means we bury them. Okay, instead of burning them or throwing them out, we bury them as a sign of respect. Okay? Anything which has God's name on it requires Geniza. So therefore, tefillin, Sifrei Torah, no question, you need to be Gonizit. Alright? What doesn't need Geniza, but a lot of people think you do? Tzitzis. Why not? Because what does not tzitzis have? Doesn't have God's name. Anything doesn't have God's name, you don't have to be going into it. Nonetheless, sometimes we're strict. What's the problem, though? The problem is, there's one problem with just putting everything in the Geniza. What's the problem?
Disrespectful.
What?
And be disrespectful.
First of all, maybe you can say it's a little disrespectful to put them both together, but there's a bigger problem, which is that there's just no space. It's very, very expensive to be going to these things, and to find a spot in order to bury these things is like burdensome on the Jewish community. And that's why, by the way, even in the old city, in order to be gonish something, to drop it off by the bottles in the parking lot, you have to pay money. And so it's not just so simple that everything, just gonish everything. You have to know what gets geniza and what doesn't get geniza. Okay? So, let's start. So when it comes to things with God's name, you should obviously gonish it. When it comes to sitters, chumashim, there was a machlokes, but Lamaisa, we're going to use them also. Okay? Even if it doesn't, not written Kitab, Ashuri, whatever, if it has God's name, you put it in the Geniza. You have to put it in the Geniza. Okay? Yeah.
I'm going to photocopy God's name.
The same thing as... that's interesting. It has to do with your Kavanah when you printed it. When you print a Chumash, it's clearly meant for holiness. When you're photocopying that Chumash, the question is, are you photocopying it for many time usage, or are you really photocopying it for just a one time type of usage type of situation, for it to be read once and then thrown out?
So that's a
question, exactly. When it comes to source sheets, or when it comes to booklets, let's say Dvar Torah pamphlets, right? So here we are in Machlokesville. Because there are those, Poskim would say that since it wasn't printed for the purpose of a many time usage, we don't have to be gonezit. And they're lenient and say you can just throw it out in a respectful way. And there are others who say, no, we should be strict. And because it's still Torah, we should still put it in the geniza. So that's a machlokes poskim. Whatever you do, there's what to be relied upon. However, I will say, the Panini Halacha writes that for newspapers, you know, a lot of times you have the newspaper and then you have that like one Dvar Torah in the newspaper. Like the Jewish Week and the Jewish Press, they have that like weekly Dvar Torah. And there he explicitly writes that since the whole newspaper was written not for holy purposes, for secular purposes, and you just have one page that's for like holy purposes and doesn't have God's name in it, there he says there's no problem for sure throwing it out in a respectful way, but you know, put it in a bag, but you can throw it in the garbage. You don't have to put that in Minigeniza. Yeah.
What if that newspaper did have God's name in it?
If it had God's name in it, then you have to, then we'll talk about it in a moment, like, you know, if it's written with God's name, not for holy purposes. But in general, if it's for Dvar Torah, we're assuming it's for holy purposes, and then you do have to, go nes it, okay? So, so you got this. So if it's holy, sinner, got to be go nes. The newspaper, don't have to be go nes. If it's in between little pamphlets, makoro sheets, stuff like that, it would seem like that's machlokes. Okay? When it comes to, let's say, holy sources, but it's written in English. Let's say it's written in the source sheet, the word God, G-O-D. But it doesn't actually have Hashem's name. It's just a G-O-D. So what do you guys think? Do we have to be going, is it? Or can I throw that out?
You throw that out.
So on the one hand, only if it's God's name, does it have this intrinsic kedusha, the Hebrew, right? That's where the issur of erasing God's name would come into play. And that's why you're right, there are many quotes from Allah, as long as it's not written in Hebrew, for you to throw it out. On the other hand, there are those who want to be stringent and say that God, G-O-D, is also an expression of God's name. And so if it says G-O-D, you also should not throw it out. And so that's why a lot of people, when they print out source sheets or things like that, they won't write G-O-D, they'll write G/D. Right? A little dash, and that way you avoid the whole problem of maybe you have to throw it out. Godism, I'm sorry.
There are Christian texts that have God's name, like God on it.
Okay, got it. So that's the next. I'm talking right now about a Jewish text written for Torah purposes.
Or if it's like a hey apostrophe.
Oh, okay, that's the same thing. If it's a hey apostrophe, that's the same thing as G-O-D. It's in order to avoid the writing God's name, and therefore you could throw it out technically. Okay? That's not a problem. What about, sometimes in my little mailbox in the old city, I get these little Bibles, and I think it's like holy books, like Kehillim. And then I see it's written by the Bible. Institution of Bible, meaning it's written by idol-worshipping Christians who are trying to missionize me. Pathos. Right? So, Do I have to put them in a Gemiza just because it has God's name in it? Hey, what's the halacha? This is actually an explicit Gemara. And the halacha is a little controversial. But the halacha is you can burn. In fact, it could be you're even encouraged to burn, according to some poskim, these names of God, these pamphlets written with God's name, because they do not have God. In order to show that they do not have holiness, only Sefer Torah, Chumash, written with Kedusha has holiness, but a Christian pamphlet is a Bodh Zara and can be burnt. With that said, on a technical level, I probably wouldn't go around burning St. James Bibles, going to hotels and burning things like that, because it's generally not a good idea. I would think that it's halacha to also be smart. And if we start burning other people's books, who knows?
Don't you think that Gemara thought about that and decided anyways it was a good idea for us to do it?
It's a good point. Perhaps the Gemara is talking about a situation in a theoretical sense where no one would find out. But in a practical...
Well, what's the point? If they said all points to show.
I think the Gemara is saying, and in technically, it has no Kedusha, such... It has so much non-Kedusha that you could burn it, just like there's a mitzvah of getting rid of Avodah Zarah. But in a real sense, in the real world, I think burning books is a bad idea, because then they're going to start burning our books. And in general, book burning, if anyone who's read Fahrenheit 4, what's the book, Fahrenheit
4,
whatever, we know that burning books of other people's traditions is probably not a good idea. And you know where Jonathan Sacks talks about being open-minded towards other traditions. So I don't think it's a good idea to burn so much, at least not in public, other people's books. But technically, also the truth is the machlokas whether Christianity is a Avodah Zarah or not. So you get into all sorts of issues.
Those books, like, you're not going to keep your house.
I would get rid of them. I would throw them out. I'd throw them out. But I would not burn them. Or I wouldn't put them in the Gemiza. Because that is like, you know, attributing coveted status to them. So I wouldn't put them in the Gemiza, but I would just throw them. What?
They're only New Testament ones?
No, they actually write Tehillim. That's if it's New Testament, there's not no kasha. We're talking about moms, they write Tehillim the same way I write Tehillim.
What if there was like one that had
Old Testament? That's what I'm saying, though. Okay, you can get throw that out. You can burn that. That's not a problem. Even though it's the same, that's the chiddush. Even though it's the exact same, it's the name of God. But the name of God doesn't get any holiness unless it's written by a Jew for holy purposes. If it's written by a
chumash,
yeah, I know, mamish has God's name. But however, if it's a non-Jew who writes the chumash, not for Christian purposes, not for idolatrous purposes, he just prints it, right? So then, while it doesn't have the same kedusha as a regular chumash, it also should not be burnt. So, as a stringency, I would either throw it out in a respectful way or genizify it, put it in geniza, but it does not have the same kedusha. You would not have to kiss it, or any of these halachos that we're talking about would not apply for a Sefer Torah written by a non-Jew. When it comes to a GPS chumash, there again, it probably depends on your hashkafa. I have heard certain rabbis say that a JPS, because it's written by conservative Jews with a different hashkafa, that maybe it would not attain the same kedusha as a regular Archroch Chumash. But I'm not so sure about that. I have heard some poskim say that, but I don't know. I'm not sure. It's still written by a Jew, written for holy purposes, right? Even if their hashkafa is different than ours, I would still try to generally treat it with respect, but I'm not sure. You can ask a posek about that. Your hashkafa will affect the stance you take on that. Okay, what about a... we talked about source sheets, writing God's name, idol worshiper. Okay, what about this year? I'm going to put this on YU Torah, right? Can you erase a shear from your, let's say you don't want it on your iPhone anymore. Can I erase this shear? Tricky question, right? Because it's Torah. But on the other hand, it's on your computer, it's virtual, it's not really God's name. I'll ask you another question. Let's say you have a computer and you get a Dvar Torah. You get these daily halacha. Right? Everyone gets these little daily halacha things. Can I erase my email if it's a Dvar Torah? What if in the email it says God? So it's tricky. So these are complicated issues debated by modern day post-gim. Lemaisa, there's a difference between virtual energy of computer energy. Is not computer Torah is not the same as written Torah. And you know, things on an iPhone do not necessarily have the same status as things written by a Jew. Writing things kind of imbues things with Kedusha. It's not so clear that if I type things, that imbues it with Kedusha. Another Nafkamina, for example, on Chol HaMoed, you're not allowed to write, but you are allowed to type. You're allowed to type. Let's say you guys are going to be in college next year, you're going to have to take course notes. You're allowed to type notes in the class, but you're not allowed to write notes in the class. Why? Why are you allowed to type and not write? Because typing does not necessarily, it's not considered a maisa, and it's still in the virtual world. It's not the same as in the, even like physically, when I write notes to class, like I feel like I'm physically doing something. When I type it, it doesn't psychologically have the same extent.
Modern day Kumish typed. Like I bet, like now we're discussing like, if it's on the internet, is it?
You're right. That's why, by the way, that's why a written Sefer Torah, a written Chumash, everyone agrees you have to treat with Kedusha. A printed Chumash was a machlokes, but the minhag is to be strict. But you're right, it's printing something because you didn't go through that physical act of imbuing it with Kedusha, it does not have the same effect on it. And that's, but in general, I think we could be more lenient about erasing things. But on the other hand, if someone, let's say, wrote on the marker board like one of God's names, you get yourself into trouble. That's why, by the way, a lot of people they write Beis Samech Dalet instead of Bisiat Dishmaya instead of Beit He instead of Baruch Hashem, because they're worried that saying Hashem is like a little bit of God's name. And that's a chumrah, you don't have to worry about that. You can write Baruch Hashem, it's fine. But I'm just saying, like, people are very wary. That's why they won't write G-O-D on a board, because they're scared that you're going to erase God's name.
Ravadi told me that doesn't count as...
No, I agree. I'm saying it's a chumrah. It's not a... It's a stringency. But I'm just saying that the reason that people do that is because they're wary.
Specifically the word God.
Right. There are... It's a chumrah. The Bnei Halacha writes, the reason... Some people are afraid that G-O-D is like one of God's names, and therefore they write G/D. But technically, it's not actually God's name.
There are enough names that a lot of different words are too close. So.
True. Another situation which is like shady territory is Shalom. Because technically, Shalom is one of God's names. So that's why, for example, halachically, you're not supposed to say Shalom Aleichem when you go to a bathroom. If you're in the bathroom, you're not supposed to say Shalom Aleichem, because that's one of you guys.
Your name is Shalom.
Exactly, that's exactly debated. I have a friend whose name is Shalom. So he knows not to say, "Hi, my name is Shalom," in the bathroom. Or when people say Shalom,
he desperately wants to deal with meeting new people.
Yes. By the way, this is something in general that a writer has to be a little bit stronger about. You're not supposed to speak in general in a bathroom. I'm going to say this one of these daily halachas. I just don't know if people are ready for it. But you know the whole, like, bathroom stall to bathroom stall. Hey, how's it going? You hear about the Nikkim? Like, that's not cool. You really should not be doing that. Especially when you're actually going to the bathroom. Then it's mamish inappropriate. But even if you're just reading the newspaper, it's just not respectful to be like, to the next guy. Yo, what's going on? How's it going? So that's something that we have to get a little bit, and people don't know. It's not like, I'm sure people don't mean to be disrespectful, but when you're in a not respectful place like a bathroom, you're really not supposed. Your speech is kedusha dik, right? A Jew's words are holy. Plus, the odds are, if you're going to speak, what do you probably end up talking about? Torah, right? Because you're a Jew, you're going to end up saying shalom. What?
Always happens.
It always happens. But even if you're not going to speak kedusha, still not sneeze when you're naked in that state, right? It's the same way, whatever. You know, it's similar when you're having relations, when you're naked, you don't have a Sefer Torah out, you have to cover the Sefer Torah. So a Jew is really a walking Sefer Torah, and we have to watch what we say in the bathroom, stuff like that. Say even in the bathroom while you're in the act of you're talking about.
No, I was going to ask you.
Oh, what was the question?
That even if it doesn't have Hashem's name, but it's like made with holiness to be used for Torah, then yes.
Then what?
Then you do have to put a name with him.
So technically, if it doesn't, if it has God's name, it has to be Genuzified. If it's a sefer written for kedusha purposes, it's a machlokes. We are stringent to put in a geniza. So say a Jonathan Sacks book. It doesn't have God's name in it, right? But it's a holy book or Shlomo book. Since it's a holy book, we try to be stringent, and it's a book which is meant for many time usage, and we will try to put it in the Geniza in general. However, if it's a source sheet which doesn't have God's name in it, and it's a one time use type of source sheet, or if it's one of these like Dvar Torah packets which is just meant for one Shabbos, there again there's machlokes. Some people are lenient to just throw it out in a respectful way, and other people are strict even for that to put in the Geniza. However, a newspaper which just happens to mention a Torah idea or something like that, we can throw that out in a respectful way. If something is written in Hebrew, we're sometimes a little bit more stringent, because Hebrew is a holy language. I remember I asked Rav Neventhal when I was in yeshiva if I can read a Hebrew sefer, like a dictionary, in a bathroom. Because I didn't want to waste any time. So I wanted to learn Hebrew. So can I read a Hebrew English dictionary in order to learn Hebrew in my free time? So what do you think? What was the psak? Can you do that?
Probably no.
Can you read a dictionary? Probably no. So he said better not to. Because it's a mitzvah to learn Hebrew. Right? Every time I open up a dictionary, I'm actually getting a mitzvah. Therefore, better not to. Better not to read it. I actually wanted to learn Hebrew, so I wanted to read Harry Potter when I was in the bathroom. So I also... I wouldn't say it's usser, but probably better not to read Hebrew Sfarim, since my whole intention was to learn Hebrew, which is a mitzvah. Just, you
what
know.
If your intention is to not learn Hebrew?
Yeah,
like, you're just reading Harry Potter.
Really just reading, like...
Right, just reading a regular book. So I think it's fine. I think technically it's fine, but if you want to be machmir upon yourself, good to not bring Hebrew things into the bathroom. Yeah.
Is Gidasti a machmir?
Is it a chuvah?
Is what?
Is Gidasti a chuvah?
Gidasti... Yeah, so technically it's a chumrah. You don't have to write. You can write God because it's just one of the attributes of Hashem. But it's a good chumrah. I think it's a chumrah which shows respect for God's name. And any extra act that we do in order to show... Remember, it's one of the Ten Commandments is to not say God's name in vain. And so we're playing with like serious territory. So I think it's a good chumrah. Anything... that we do to show extra respect. That's why, by the way, why in the olden days, in the Gemara's time, you weren't supposed to print God's name. You weren't supposed to write God's name. You're not supposed to write God's name in a non-chumish, right? Like, you know, even those, like, kibashivat yamim basukot teshvu, those little things, even that's machlokes, because it's a whole pasuk. And in general, we're only supposed to write God, the psukim, in a chumish. Because we're worried that it's gonna be disrespected. It's gonna come to be disrespected. That's why originally even sitters were not written and printed. What happened? People couldn't function without sitters, and so we print sitters and we print chumash and we print Divrei Torah. But technically, we're really not supposed to be printing because we're so afraid of God's name being disrespected, right? It even talks about in the time of the Gemara, they used to write like "In God We Trust" on their money, and they stopped doing that because the money got thrown around and thrown in the garbage and was put in disrespectful places, right? So they wouldn't write "In God We Trust" or whatever, right? You can tell America that maybe do they write "In God" with an O or it's I think it's with an O.
They never.
So again, technically, God is not got one of Hashem's name, and therefore you could bring it into a bathroom. But as an extra stringency, it's good to not, to not write God whenever you can, just as an extra degree of showing how much we care for Hashem. Cool. Any other questions? Everything clear? The Seder. We'll stop here. Have a wonderful day. That's all.